Today, the tafsir from Faculty of Engineering Mosque Ahmad Bello University Zaria continues from Ayat 92 in Surah An-Naml. Ustaz Abdul Mumin Yakubu will read the Holy Quran while Professor Abdullah Elukene will conduct the tafsir, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنا أتلو القرآن فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فقل إنما أنا من المنذرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، ملك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق، ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم، وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، سلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. إنما أمرت أن أعبد رب هذه البلدة الذي حرمها وله كل شيء، وأمرت أن أكون من المسلمين، وأن أتلو القرآن. من اهتدي فإنما يهتدي لنفسه، ومن ضل فقل إنما أنا من المنذرين. Allah تبارك وتعالى is telling us the announcement to us of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself. The Prophet here himself announced, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنَا أَعْبُدَ رَبَّ هَذِهِ الْبَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا. That I have been commanded that I should worship this one, that is the Lord of this town, this city that has forbidden the city that any evil should enter it. وَأُمِرْتُ أَنَا was commanded likewise أَنَا أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ to be among the Muslims. وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ أَنَا was also commanded that I should be reciting the Quran. For many today, as I'm reciting it for people, for many today, whoever is guided by it, for enough he got guided for his own sake, for his own benefit. For man dalla, whoever strays away and refuses to be guided by it, for kul innama, then you tell them that I am only min al munzirin, one out of those that were sent by Allah to warn. Here, when the Prophet ﷺ announced, إِنَّمَا أُمِرْتُ أَنَا أَبُودَ رَبَّ هَذِي الْبَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا, that I am commanded to worship. But he brought this word, رَبَّ, Lord. What Lord? بَلْدَةِ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهَا, of the city that forbid that in this city crime should be committed, even animal should be killed. Even when you see somebody that has abused your father or even killed your father, you cannot retaliate, which means this city is peaceful. When there is peace, there's nothing that remains for you but to worship Allah. But he brought this word Rab, that he was commanded to worship this Rab. Rab is one that trains you until you become somebody that is of excellent status. Here, Allah Tawaraka Ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, is the one that trains the whole world and dedicate them and put them in the correct places. Always we ask, look at your children. If you as a father, you have a child and you just allow him, you don't tell him, do this. You don't tell him, don't do this. You just allow him to do whatever he wants. Will this child ever grow up to be educated, to be cultured, to be disciplined? Of course, no. If also, likewise, you have a house and you bring in slaves to your house to come and work, and you don't tell them which work to do, you don't tell them where not to go to, then how can they be disciplined? So if you want your child to be educated, you have to tell him, do this, don't do this. If you do this, you get this reward. If you don't do this, you get this reward. If you do this that I ask you not to do, then you get punished. That is what makes you a father. So Allah also, in making us to become somebody, He sent us to this world. He will tell us, do this, don't do this. Try to apply yourself to this. If you have finished that, go ahead and do this. And He'll tell you the minimum to do. That's what makes Him our Lord and what makes us His servants, His slaves. Here, Allah Ta'ala, He not only tells us to do it, the one that He loved most, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is the one announcing now, Innama Umirtu. Even me, I was commanded that I should worship the Lord of this town. And this town is specified because when there is peace, it's easier for you to worship. And the second thing that He said He was commanded to do is that He should be among the Muslims. You should not look at your status and say, oh, I am higher than anybody. Always be among the Muslims. If Allah was to show you in your dream that you are very close to the Prophet, you are seeing the Prophet, Allah was to show you that you have even entered paradise, Allah was to show you that you have very big status, still be among the Muslims. Don't look at a person who says he's a Muslim and you say he's not a Muslim. And what is the third thing that the Prophet ﷺ said he was commanded to do? وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. That I should be reciting the Quran, reciting it for people to hear. And in this, he is asked to take a decision. Whoever in this case gets guided, he got guided for his own sake, for his own benefit. Whoever goes astray, then this is what you will tell him. I am just one of those that is a warner from Allah. I'm one of them. Here, we are asked to recite the Quran. Sheikh Ibrahim Yas, he said, there is no worship that is above reciting the Quran. He said, initially, as a young person, you may look at other worship. Maybe you want to be fasting. Maybe you want to be doing zikr. Maybe you want to be visiting people. You want to be doing sadaqah. So whatever you take as your voluntary worship, in addition to the compulsory worship, you will find out by the time you get immersed in Islam, in religion, in worship, that there is nothing better than the Quran. Because the Quran is the root of all knowledge. If you understand the Quran, or you don't understand the Quran, the more you recite it, the more you see the effect in you. And when you see the effect in you, you find out that you are not going to need to abandon the Quran. So he said, one should engage in the Quran. Then there's a hadith that says, Man shagalahu al-Quran wa zikri an mas'alati ataytuhu abdalu ma utiya as-sa'ilin. He said, whoever Quran and my main, and the mentioning of me has taken his attention, that he is not even able to call on to me to ask me for his request. Allah says, to such, I will grant him much more virtuous things than the ones I've given to those asking me for their needs. So, which means the person that recites the Quran, most of the time, Allah will grant him his need even before he asks. Here again, one would say, this Quran that Allah has asked us to be reciting, where is it? In the case of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah told him, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه. said, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't move your tongue too fast when you are reciting the Quran or when it is being recited to you. Don't worry, we shall put it together in a book form and we shall make it to be recited. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'anahu. It is on us, Allah said, to put it up as a book and to make it to be recited. Sheikh Ibrahim Niyazi went ahead, he said, look, when Allah said this, the Quran was not yet a book, but Allah has fulfilled his promise. It is now a book. Then when he said this, only Sahabas were reciting this Quran. Now, everything recites the Quran. The whole world is reciting the Quran. Sheikh said, even the air is reciting the Quran. Even the metal, they are reciting the Quran. He said, because when you put your cassette, for the cassette to recite, it's metal. So when you are in a radio house and you are reciting the Quran and it is going out, it is through the air. So all these things are reciting the Quran. So just like Allah has promised that the Quran will be recited, it is being recited. I saw even a situation where the Queen of Britain went to a mosque to listen to the Quran. Here, everything recites the Quran. You too recite the Quran. If you are reciting the Quran, which way is the best to recite the Quran? Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz, he said, the best way to recite the Quran is to hold the book in your hand. He said, because when you hold the book in your hand, he said, your hand is doing worship now. He said, some people even take their fingers to follow the line by line. He said, which means your finger is doing another worship. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say that your eyes give it its own portion of worship. By the time you are looking with your eyes into the Quran, the eyes is also doing worship. Then, if you are reciting it loudly, then your ears is also hearing it. Then it's also important that you allow somebody else to recite it and you hear. The Prophet is to ask Ubayy ibn Ka'ab to recite the Quran for him so that he can hear. So because when you hear the Quran, you should try to hear it from the person reciting it, first of all. Allow yourself to move beyond that person to listen to it from the Prophet. Allow yourself to even move that you are hearing the Prophet reciting it from Allah to you. Al-Qasam'a huwa shaheed. You give your hearing and be present before Allah. This is the best way to recite the Quran. If you are the one sort of person that engage in a lot of sin, then reciting Quran will be very dangerous for you. Because the Quran, Rasulullah Allah said, رُبَّ الْقَارِئُ يَقْرَأُ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْأَنُهُ. Maybe a person is reciting the Quran and the Quran is cursing him. Why? If you know that you are reciting the Quran, you are obstinate, you still are engaging in sin, you still are engaging in disobeying what the Quran is saying, the Quran will be telling you, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. The Quran will be cursing those that are putting its instructions to lie. For such a person, it's better for him to engage in what will cut him away from the sin, the sins he's committing, before he starts applying himself more to the Quran. That's why Sheikh Ahmad Tijani is saying that there are four levels of people that recite Quran. So there is this person that when he's reciting the Quran, he is hearing it as if Allah is one reciting it to him through the Prophet. So for this person, that is the best work for him to do himself. There is no better work for him to do. He said, there is this other person that when he recites it, he understands the meaning and he is contemplating on it and he is an obedient servant of Allah. He too, Sheikh Ahmad Tijani said, the best thing for him to do in life is to recite Quran. There is a third person, he said, he doesn't understand the meaning, but he knows he's reciting the word of Allah and he's obedient to Allah. He said, this person too, the best thing for him to recite is the Quran. So then there is the last person. He said, he may understand the meaning, he may not understand the meaning, but as he is reciting it, he is disobedient to Allah. He is committing sin. Maybe he is committing zina. Maybe he is telling lies. Maybe he is not fulfilling his promises. Such a person, Quran is not the best thing for him to recite. He should engage more in istighfar and in salati on the Prophet because when you make istighfar, Allah will bless you. When you make salati on the Prophet, Allah will make salati on you. That will help you to take away most of the capital sins then before you engage in the Quran. So this is what Sheikh Ahmad Tijani has said. Not what people are saying, that he says that Salati Fati is better than the Quran. Sheikh Ahmad Tijani did not say that anywhere. When somebody is talking and you quote him out of context, then you have no good intention. The person who has a good intention will not quote out of context. He will quote within the context that the person was talking. So this is what Sheikh Ahmad Tijani said. Then Sheikh Ibrahim Niyazi, he was warning people. He said, the problem we have today is because we have abandoned Quran. He said, let us look at Sayyidina Umar. Let us look at the Sahabas. Sayyidina Umar went ahead and was able to acquire and defeat one quarter of the world in his own time. And he was the leader of one quarter of the world in his own time. From Makkah down to Damascus, down to Persia, Sayyidina Umar was the leader, down to Egypt. Yet, he does not know anything called hisab. This hisab that some ulama, they do to say they want to know each other. Sheikh Ibrahim Niyazi said, Umar did not know anything called hisab. There no sahaba even knew what was called hisab, let alone for them to study it. He said, but they held to the Quran, believed in it so much that even if you ask them to enter the sea without a boat, they would enter it knowing that the Quran is with them in their mind. He said it was their strength of belief in the Quran that they were defeating the wars that they were going to. People that came against them, they defeated them. They had no rockets. They had no guns. Apart from the sword they have and their horses, there is nothing they have. But they had the Quran. And because the Quran was life in them, it's like they are with Allah. So all of us should go back to the Quran. If we don't go back to the Quran, we'll always be afraid of everybody. But if you are with the Quran, you will not be afraid of anybody. Then the Quran, you have to thank our predecessors, the ulama before us, our leaders before us. We have done a lot of work. They put this Quran together at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. They went and put dots on them, verbalized it for us. After the Prophet, they did all this. They also went ahead and divided the Quran into 30. Each of the 30, they further divided it into two, making it 60 divisions. Each of division, they further divided into 8 parts. They call it Sumuni 1-8. Then, after that division, they left it. They also came back, they divided the Quran in what they call Ruku'u. In case you want to pray with it, sections that the meaning will make sense for you to start with and end with. And they did that. Then Sheikh Ahmad Tijani now said, whoever Allah has blessed to have completed the Quran, he should try to finish it once in a month. He should recite 1/60 in the morning, 1/60 in the evening. If you are doing that in a month, you will have finished the whole of the 30 parts. Which means anybody who knows how to recite Quran fluently has no choice but you should finish it once in a month. If you cannot recite it fluently, take the part that you can recite and reciting it. If, for example, you don't even know the Quran at all, you only know Fatiha and Qul Allahu Ahad, reciting a lot of Fatiha, reciting a lot of Qul Allah, then you will get the reward of the person reciting the whole of the Quran. But in the case of our Sheikh Ibrahim Niyaz, he divided the Quran into 7 portions. After Fatiha, the first 3 surah is one portion. The next portion, the next 5 surah. Then the next 7 surah. Then the next 9 surah. Then the next 11 surah. Then the next 13 surah. From here, you have gotten to Surah Al-Hujurat. Then from Qaf, the final part. Then he recites each portion every day. That day he had finished reciting it in a week. And he says that he tries his best to finish it twice in a week. This portion that he has divided, he does it in the daytime reading with the Quran. And in the night, since Allah blessed him with memorization of the Quran, he also recites the portion in the night. You will finish it twice in a week. To him, this is like a translation of Sab al-Mathani wal Quran al-Azim. Seven often repeated times. So here, the person, let us at least, in the minimum, those people that can recite the Quran fluently, recite it once every month and believe in it. Even if you don't know the meaning, try to know the meaning of little surahs in it. And when you are praying, pray with the ones that you know the meaning, so that the mind can be, the meaning can be stuck to your heart as you are reciting it. And wallahi, if you attend the congregational prayers often, and you recite the Quran often, and you hold to it, you will find a lot of your problems will go away before you even ask Allah to remove your problems away from you. This is what the Prophet said he has been asked to do. This is his own worship. We should also take it as our own worship. It is not good for you to have Quran in the house, you don't recite it. If you have children, try to train them to know how to read the Quran. You are training your children to read English just because it will fend for them their livelihood in this world. What of the hereafter? And we should also try to learn Arabic. No matter the little you can learn in Arabic, at least it will assist you to know the meaning of the Quran. So may Allah assist us. وَمَنْ هِيْتَ دِي وَإِنَّمَا هَيْتَ دِي لِنَفْسِي وَمَنْ دَلَّ وَكُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُنْزِرِينَ. If whoever refuses to follow the guidance of the Quran, it is left for him. What the Prophet was asked to do is to warn. We are acting what the Prophet ﷺ asked us to also do on his behalf.
وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سَيُرِيكُمُ آيَاتِهِ فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سَيُرِيكُمُ آيَاتِهِ فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala has ended the surah with this verse. He started when the Prophet was asked to preach to the whole of mankind. Alhamdulillah, kul alhamdulillah, wa salam ala ibadihi alladhina istafi. Here again it's ending. Kul alhamdulillah, sayurikumu ayatihi wa tarifunaha. Ama rabbuka bil ghafilin, amma ta'amadhin. O Prophet, as you are ending, end by thanking Allah, by praising Allah. Say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah sayurik, tell them sayurikumu ayatihi. Allah will show you his signs. Fatarifunaha, and you will indeed get to know it. You don't know it today, you will know it in the hereafter. Wama rabbuka bighafilin amma ta'malun. Allah is not negligent of what you are doing. Negligence is a very dangerous disease. Most of us, we cannot avoid being negligent because it's not easy to be attentive 100%. But we should try to reduce our negligence. Allah himself is saying here that we should be told that Allah, your Lord, is not negligent of what they are doing. So we should thank Allah for bringing the Prophet to us, for giving us this Quran. You can see this surah set out to train us to be responsible to ourselves, to our community, and to know the position of knowledge. But knowledge is very important. And at the end, we are being told now that the epitome of knowledge is the Quran itself. Reciting it alone will grant us some spiritual knowledge. When we know the meaning, we will get some ephemeral and some physical knowledge. We should try not to be negligent, because negligence takes you to go and commit sin. It makes you to easily get Lord by Satan. Sasud an ayati alayhina takabbaruna kul ad. When you are full ayatin, la yumriha. When you are sabila rushti, la takhidu sabila. When you are sabila gay, la takhidu sabila. Yalek fabi annahum.
Kazabu bi ayatina.
Kazabu bi ayatina, okanu anha, gafilin. Allah said, people that will see our signs and go away from it, when they see every of our sign, they will not believe in it. When they see sabila rushdi la takhizu sabila, when they see a path that is a straight forward path, they will refuse to follow it. But when they see sabila gayi, a path that is way is going astray, quickly they follow it. Why? He said, because they deny our signs. And because they were negligent. So from negligence, when it becomes too common with you, you deny. When it becomes denial is too much with you, the person will go ahead and try to follow the wrong path and justify it. And at the end of the day, when he justifies it, if he becomes strong, he will be proud that he's doing something that is wrong. That's why you find people today who are homosexuals showing pride that they're homosexuals. They know it's wrong, but it started from negligence like that, until now they are proud to even go to the court and say they want to get married. May Allah save us from negligence.
Amen.
May Allah save us from ignorance.
Amen.
May Allah grant us knowledge. And may Allah grant us recitation of the Quran. Anna al-Layl wa atrab nahar, night and day. Jami sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
سورة القصص مكية وهي 88 آية. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طسم تلك كتاب المبين
سورة القصص مكية وهي 88 آية. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طسم ميم تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. This surah we are entering is سورة القصص. Allah, it is called the surah of narration of history, qasas. It was revealed to the Prophet when he was in Mecca, and it has 88 verses. It is one of the later surahs before the Isra of the Prophet. After it, other surahs like Surah Yunus and the rest were revealed, where in it Allah was saying نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We are going to be telling you the biographies and histories of the earlier prophets so that your mind can be rest assured. Whatever Allah promises you, it will come to pass. This particular surah is trying to tell us that when you have strength, what is the strength meant to do for you? When you have knowledge, what is the knowledge meant to do for you? When you have wealth, what is the wealth meant to do for you? Because today, these are the three things that are sought for more than any other thing. Everybody wants to say, my child is a doctor. My child is a professor. That is knowledge. Everybody wants to say, my child is a minister. My child is a governor. My child is an executive director. That is power. Everybody wants to say, oh, my child is a millionaire, is a billionaire. That is wealth. These three things, what is their position if Allah gives it to you? The important thing is you have to first of all know that everything Allah has predestined. If you refuse to use them to the cause of Allah, they will be a source of tragedy for you, and a source of sadness and misery for you. But if you use them for Allah's sake, it will elevate you beyond this world to the hereafter. So here, Allah is going to show us a very powerful king who refused to use his kingdom for Allah. What he belittled, how Allah used it in destroying his kingdom. And injustice is not allowed in any kingdom. Then when you have knowledge, in most cases, it will come with wealth. In most cases, it's not your wealth, it's not your knowledge, it's Allah that gave it to you. All this, this particular surah is being told to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that the Prophet is rest assured that what Allah has promised that he will do for him, that this religion, he is going to make it to inherit the earth, it will come to pass. It started like this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most compassionate, most merciful. Always Allah starts surah like this, except Surah At-Tawbah, to tell us that we should do our work for Allah, and our work should always be accompanied by compassion and by mercy. We shouldn't do work without caring for people. We should care. We should do the work for Allah. We are not doing it for ourselves. Then he started with three letters. Ta, ta, sin, mim. Ta is an alphabet in Arabic. Sin is an alphabet, mim is an alphabet. There are surahs that start with only one letter, like Kaf, Noon, Sad. There are some that started with two letters, like Yasin, like Tahe, like Tosin, that we just passed. There are some that start with three letters, like Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Re, like Tosin Mim, the one we are in now. There are some that start with four letters, like Alif Lam Mim Re, they start with four letters. There are some that start with five letters, like He, Mim, Ayin, Sin, Kaf, Kaf, He, Ayin, Sad. All this is to tell you that there is so much you don't know about the Quran. Each of these has meaning. They have secrets. Some people are able to get part of this secret, some are not able to get. It's like when you enter knowledge, you are learning, the end is early. So whatever you think you know is little compared to what you don't know. Wama utitu minal ilmi illa qalilan. We have not given you except a little of knowledge. So let us try to read, try to understand, and try to immerse ourselves in the Quran. Then we'll be getting more of the knowledge, more of the knowledge, and more of the knowledge. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Tilka, this that you had, this ta, sin, mim, ayatul kitab al-mubin. They are signs of the book that is very clear. This clear book, this ta, sin, mim that you see, you are hearing, they are signs of that book.
نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون بالحق لقوم يؤمنون.
نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون بالحق لقوم يؤمنون. الله تبارك وتعالى says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون. نتلو, we are going to rehearse to you and to relate to you min naba'i Musa, from the biography of the Prophet Musa and Fir'auna, and this king Fir'auna, bil haqqi, with truth. And why are we reciting it to you? Why are we rehearsing it to you? So that it can benefit liqawmin yu'minun. It can benefit this party of people that believe in Allah. Yeah. You can see Allah said it's going to rehearse the story of Anil Musa and Fir'aun. Here in Baqarah, there's talk of Anil Musa. There, you will find out that Allah was simply relating not the story of Anil Musa per se, but the favors he has conferred on the people of Bani Israel as a whole. Even Jainakum, Min Fir'aun. يسومونكم سوء العذاب ويذبحون أبناءكم وفي ذلك بلاء من ربكم عظيم. He was telling them there how Allah has rewarded them by securing their release and saving them from Pharaoh. Then you come to surah like Surah Taha, where Allah went into detail. But the detail Allah went into is what went between Moses and Allah. What went between Moses and Allah when he came to Tur Sinai? It is not just as we mentioned in other surah that throw down your staff, don't run, don't fear. There it went into detail. Amatil kabiya minika ya Musa, qala hi asaya atawakkal alayha wa ahshiha ala ganami aliya fiha maharib ukhra. There was this discussion. Alkiya ya Musa. Then he went on that head to head. In another place, Moses himself was asking Allah, for me to go to Moses, to Fir'aun, rubbish li sadri, wa yassir li amri, wa udda min lisani, yafqahu qawli, wa ij'al li wazira min ahli, Harun akhi. The detail between Moses and Allah was said then. The detailed discussion that also went between him and the magicians was also said then. But here, Allah said he's going to tell us the story of Moses. Here he will tell us, this Moses that we are talking about, what was his youth like? Did he grow up like every other youth? He even told us in Surah Taha that he told Moses, after Moses requested for so many things from Allah, I've showed concern over you. Walakad manamna alayka maratan ukhre. Zao hee ila ummi kama yuhi. Anik zidhi fi tabuti. Wadhi zidhi fi liyemni. Wadhi yukil hin kusahili akhuzul aduin wa aduan. Then up to where he said, Thumma jita ala qadrin ya Musa. I've always showed my concern over you. Look at the time this happened. And now you are coming to me just like as Ahudin. So all through the life of Moses, it was planned to be like that. Allah is going to tell us now why he set out to plan it to be like that. How did it all start? So we shall see. So he said, Nabai Musa Fir'auna bilhaq, they call me Yumin. Not everybody will believe in what you are saying. But those that have faith in Allah, they know what you are saying is truth, and they will believe in it, and they will learn from it, and they will take something from it.
إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين.
إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. Allah تبارك وتعالى is telling us, who is this Fir'aun? Who is he? Inna Fir'auna ala fil ard. Fir'aun, he raised himself so high on earth. Waja'ala ahlaha shi'an. And those under him, the people under him, ja'alaha shi'an, he made them to be in different parts. He grouped them differently. Yastad'ifu ta'ifatan minhum. He made some of them to be weak before others. Yuzabihu abna'ahum. He was slaughtering their males. Wayastahayi nisa'ahum. And he was allowing their females, their women, to live. Fir'auna, innahu kana minal mufsidin. He was among those that wreaked destruction on earth. All he does is to destroy things. Here, when he said, waja'ala ahalaha shi'an, this is what you call divide and rule. It's a very dangerous way to rule. You take some people, deliberately give them choicy positions of power, and take some people, allow them not to have anything in government. That way, they are always at the mercy of the other. And because the other ones see themselves as in a choicy position, they try to guard that position so that the other people cannot come into it. And they also try to protect you that you guaranteed them that position. That way, you are there, guided in your perverted position. They are there, giving punishment to those that are lower than them. That's why any government should be careful not to do a government of divide and rule. Only this area of sort of people can become leaders. This sort of people can never become leaders. That's why you find people are always crying against nepotism, tribalism. Because you end up making a particular people so strong, other people so weak. Here, Moses was in the weak, the portion that is made to be weak. That is the tribe of the Israelites. Then the Kipt, the Egyptians, that are called the Copts or the Kipt, they are made to be very strong. They don't do anything. They are just administrators, local kings. But then the Israelites are the ones that are farming, are the craftspeople, are the one building the roads, are the one digging the wells, are the one cooking. The other ones are just doing administration. So what they do is to administrate the Israelites. So the Israelites become like animals that are walking, and this will be administrative. So you have to be very careful in leadership. Anybody that is doing a leadership of divide and rule, it's like he is following the pattern of a Firaun. The first Laslama, in his own case, he looks for everybody. What he thinks you are best suited for, he allows you to go to do it. Look at Bilal. He has very good voice, very sweet voice, and vibrant voice. When Abdullah ibn Zayd came with the Azan, he said, no, ask Bilal to recite, to be the one to do the call to Azan. The Arabs did not like it. This is a free slave, black. He's the one who is going to announce for us to come out for Salah. But the Prophet, that's not what he's looking at. He is the one good for this job. He should go and do it. When Osama bin Zayd was properly trained and was asked to lead a war, he was young, but he can do the job. The Prophet was not asking to go and do it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr was the shyest, the most pious, and the Prophet had him closest to him. And most things that he will do, he is the first to be taken advice from. Sayyidina Umar, again, is a strong man, determined, hardworking. Sayyidina Abu Bakr chose him to lead the Ummah. Always choose people according to their capacity, which work they can do. Here again, we are going to see that Allah will teach us that if somebody has capacity, we should even go and seek that the person should be given the opportunity to do the work. We shouldn't wait until the person has to go and seek for it. We should ask, oh, this person, I know him. He has the capacity to do this. Can you give him this work? And the leader should listen to you if he knows you are trustworthy. But in the case of Fir'auna, he does what he wants. In Hukana Milan Mufsidin, he wreaked havoc on earth and destruction on earth.
ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين.
ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. Allah said, when we do, and we wish, we wanted to, anna munna ala alladhina istud'ifu fil ardi, that we will confer our favors on those that have been weakened on earth. Wa naj'aluhum a'immatan, and we now make them to be leaders of the community. Wa naj'aluhum al-warithin, and we make them now to be those that have inherited the earth. This is what Allah said he wished to do. And what Allah wish to do, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ وَنُرِيدُ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Allah is the one that whatever he wishes to do is what must be done. All he needs to say is كُن فَيَكُن يُبْدِيهَا لَا يَبْتَدِيهَا. You will see it unfolding. Not that it is starting now, no, it is unfolding. Even we are part of that unfolding. It has been concluded. So here, Allah wishes that these people that are wicked on earth are made to toil, will now come out to people that are favored by Allah. Which means if you are not the one toiling on the ground, Allah has favored you. Thank Allah. If Allah has made you to be somebody administrating, or you are not necessarily being toiled, you are not the one lowly on the ground, thank Allah. Don't say it is you, it is not you. In the surah that we passed, Allah was telling us, أَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَأُيُونٍ وَكُنُوزٍ وَمَكَامٍ كَرِيمٍ ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَاهَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. After we sent them out of their choice gardens, their choice, guarded places, we now gave Bani Israel to inherit it. Here, Allah is going to give Egypt back to Bani Israel, give them Palestine, give them Sham, that is Syria, and Damascus. Allah will give it back to people of Bani Israel. And when they are given, they are now in peace, they should be able to worship Allah. They have been so punished.
ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما منهم ما كانوا يحذرون.
ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما منهم ما كانوا يهزرون. ونمكن لهم في الأرض. Not only are we going to make them to inherit the earth, we'll make them to be the one that control it. ونمكن لهم في الأرض. ونري فرعون. And then we'll show فرعون. وهامان. And this is Chief Minister Haman. وجنودهما. And their army that they were using to cause havoc and cause destruction. ما كانوا يهزرون. That there is something that they are wary of, and they are afraid that it should not happen. It will happen before their eyes. The hazard is when you are cautious, you are afraid, something you are seeing coming to meet you in danger. You are looking at it and you are trying your best to avoid it. Allah says, there is a danger they are trying to avoid. Makan yuhazarun, this is what they are trying to avoid, it will come to them. They will see it coming to them and they cannot stop it.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Here Allah is now saying, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, we now inspired to the mother of Moses, أَنْأَرْضِعِيهِ, that you should go on and breastfeed him, that is Moses. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, if you are afraid for him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ, then put him in Yemen, that's River Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي, don't be afraid of anything that will happen to him. وَلَا تَخَذَنِي, don't be sad. إِنَّا رَادُوهِ إِلَيْكِ, we are going to return him back to you. It's our promise, we shall make him also a messenger of Allah. Here, there are two commandments here, two prohibitions here, and two informations here, just in this verse. Why and Allah has to wish back to the mother of Anu Musa that he should breastfeed her. That you should breastfeed him. Every woman has to breastfeed her child. But why would Allah have to now inspire it to her, breastfeed her? Because Fir'aun did not just start to slaughter the men and to allow the women to be. He had a dream. In this dream, he heard it that fire started from the quarters of where the Israelites are living, came down to where his area is and ate up his pasture. He now called oraclists and soothsayers and said, "This is my dream. What is the meaning of this?" They told him, "A child will be born from that area you saw the fire from, who will be the result of making of that will be that the resultant of it will that you lose your kingdom." So from that area is the people of Israel. I say, "They are my slaves. I will lose my kingdom because of them." So it's a simple matter. I can never lose my kingdom is because of them. What I will do, all the children that I will not even wait for any child to be born. All the children that are children today, they should go and get all of them and slaughter them, all the male. They slaughtered up to 20,000 children. After slaughtering, he said, "From now onwards, the midwives, he linked them up with the guards. Anywhere that a woman is seen to be pregnant, they should monitor the child, the pregnancy. Immediately they hear a child is born crying, they should take the child, check. If it's a female, allow him to live. If it's a male, slaughter him." This was now the practice. So here, we had this dream. And we said it when we were reciting the verse of the, when we were translating the verse of the Quran, where Allah said that, "La ya'lamu man fis samawati wal ardi al-ghayba illa Allah wa ma yash'uruna ayyana yub'atsun." That nobody in the heavens and on the earth knows what is hidden except Allah. We said there are a lot of hidden things that Allah himself allow people to know, but there are ones that nobody will ever know. There are some that he will tell the prophets. There are some that he will tell his faithful servants of Allah. There are some that he will show to the dream. This is one of it. Allah can show a pious person in a dream what will happen in the future, like he did to Anabi Ibrahim regarding his son, that he did with Anabi Yusuf regarding the fact that all his brothers and his father, they will all succumb to him instead of Yusuf. Allah can also show a non-Muslim what will happen in the future, like he did to the king of Egypt, the time of Anabi Yusuf, when the king saw what he saw, Sab'a Bakaratin Simanin Yakulhuna Sab'un Ijabin, when he saw seven fat cows being eaten by lean ones, and he saw also vibrant green that just turned into dried leaves. See, this is a king. He had a dream and it was translated to him. This is what will happen in the future. That's why it is very difficult. It's not knowledge for you to just blanket it that nobody knows the future. There are features that Allah can show people through dream, through knowledge, through piety, through being chosen by Allah himself. And there's some that he will never tell anybody. That's how it is. Here is Fir'aun, who is more or less a brother to evil Satan, that had a dream of what will happen to him in the future. It's a secret, but Allah showed him. And because he has seen it, it should have been a source of guidance to him. That if these people are the ones who will make my kingdom to grow, can I make a peace with them today so that I stop punishing them? I bring them into my government. By the time my government will even go, it will go in what we now call as soft landing. Just because you hear that tomorrow this tribe in Nigeria will become president, it's okay. I don't want them to become president. I'll make sure that I'll put them to the ground. Allah will still do what he wants to do. This is why they killed 20,000. And before this time of Anabi Musa, as the killing was getting so much, the people have to now advise Fir'aun, if we continue killing them, a time will come, there will be no male children to work for us. We are the leaders of the community, the kipts. Are we the one who will be going to the farm? We don't know how to farm. Are we the ones who will be cooking? We don't know how to cook. Are we the ones who will be crafting, who will be building, we don't know how to build? Then the foolish people, they took another decision. Okay, this year, if a child is killed in meals, next year, don't kill the meal. Look at such a decision. It is the year that they said male should not be killed, that the brother of the senior brother of Moses was given back to Aaron. The year that is detailed that male should be slaughtered is the year that Moses was given back to. When she was pregnant, the neighbors didn't know that she was pregnant. But the pregnant was not seen on time. So Allah now inspired the mother. وَأَوْهِنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ سَيْ أَنْ أَرْدِئِهِ. In your own case, don't worry. The people will not come to you on time. It will not be detected on time that you have given birth to a child. Breastfeed him. As you are breastfeeding him, if you like, continue. Allah will make sure that he makes him to go above this without anybody knowing. But if you are afraid, فَأَلْكِهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Go and put him inside the Nile. In another place, as Allah said, فَقْزِفِهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقْزِفِهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Put him inside a box and put the box inside the river. When the mother of Anabi Musa was in this situation, he was not sure exactly what to do. He had breastfed him for 3 months and he now had to go and get a carpenter to do a box for him to put Moses inside the box. Then he was now afraid. From tomorrow we'll continue after he put him. How did he get the box to be made? How did he put him in the box? Then what happened later on, Allah himself will tell us. Because the box cannot be made by him. He is not a carpenter. He had to go and meet a carpenter to do a box for her. And in doing this, secret has to leak out. What happened? May Allah guide all of us. Amen. May Allah make us to be among those that listen to Allah and follow His commandments. Amen. May Allah grant us the Quran. Amen. May Allah make us to be able to listen to the biographies of the Prophet and to gain from it.
Amen.
May Allah bring peace to our country.
Amen.
May Allah strengthen Muslims.
Amen.
May Allah strengthen Islam.
Amen.
May Allah take away this disease from our country.
Amen.
And take it away from the world.
Amen.
May Allah forgive our parents.
Amen.
May Allah reward our ulama.
Amen.
May He reward the Prophet.
Amen.
May He reward Sahabas for us. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق الحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقدار العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.
آمين.